The reading comes from John 1, and starting at verse 43 and going on to 51. The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite, in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were still under the fig tree, before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You shall see greater things than that." Then he added, "I tell you the truth. You shall see heaven open and the angel of God descending and ascending on the Son of Man."
This is the word of the Lord, and we say, thanks be to God. You know, we're currently doing our series, helping us to be more willing and able to engage in evangelism, which is, of course, means we're looking at talking to people about Jesus and making that to become a natural part of our Christian lives. We've looked at conversations which help us to get to the point of talking about Jesus. And we do this by deepening our conversations, building good rapport, and to have the respect of the person we're talking to. And we can ask those forward questions, family, occupation, recreation, dreams, to get to know someone. And when it comes to deepening friendships, we need to be good listeners who are willing to be vulnerable. Then we looked at what to say. And there are many ways to start a conversation which results in talking about Jesus. But when we do, we start by asking a question or making a statement to get a read on the person's temperature, of how warm they are towards God. And this helps to inform us how quickly we can go into sharing the gospel, as well as give us some insight into what direction is the best avenue to take in sharing the gospel. And once we've gotten a read on someone's openness to God, there are any number of directions we can go. But overall, our objective is to give the gospel message in a way which is most suitable for the context. And when we're talking about the context, we're talking about the nature of your relationship with the person, the situation surrounding that conversation you're having, the things which are going on in that person's life, and the views and beliefs of that person. These four factors are important for us to take into account. As we share, we find out if there are any sticking points which need to be addressed, or are there special moments in the person's life which have made them open to God, which can be used to explore faith, God, and Jesus. Know your testimony and the reasons for your belief and hope in Jesus, because these are powerful in speaking into people's lives. And when you do share the gospel, don't expect people to come to faith the first time you share it with them. But also, don't stop or get in the way of a good God conversation and someone who is willing to start to follow Jesus. And this week we're finishing off our section on discipling people we know so that they can become Christians. So we're dealing with the situation of having shared about Jesus with someone who has been open to our sharing but has not yet decided to follow Jesus for themselves. For many people, the goal they have in mind for their sharing about Jesus is to get people to make a decision to follow Christ and say the sinner's prayer, which indeed can be an important moment in a person's faith journey. I mean, I have that experience in my faith journey. I found out at the age of 8 that I could ask Jesus into my heart, and I jumped at the opportunity with enthusiasm And my mum, she explained what this meant, and she led me through a kind of traditional sinner's prayer, and I did experience in that moment an infilling of God's presence into my heart, and I will never forget it. However, I just want to give a few warnings or precautions around this to be mindful of. Remember, a key aspect of evangelism is that it involves discipling people who have not yet decided to be disciples themselves. And this is what Jesus has instructed us to do. Our mission is to make disciples, not get a one-time conversion. In regards to becoming a Christian, some people might just need a bit of a push to get them over the line. And so that's fine. Because we know that if we can help someone to make that genuine choice, God can do his amazing work, which many people have experienced, where they do sense that overflow of love and forgiveness just poured into their life. And many converts will become disciples. But a one-time conversion moment does not a disciple make, or in plain speak, does not make a disciple. If the person is not really ready to follow Jesus, and they are only making the decision because of pressure, this might actually hurt rather than help in someone becoming a long-term disciple. Just like someone who felt pressured into making a purchasing decision by a pushy salesperson who knows how to keep that pressure on. But then later, you regret the purchase because you know that you only made it and only said yes because you were pressured into it. And many people just find that any sort of pressure just straight out off-putting. You always have to take the person you're talking to into consideration. Another warning I give is that if the person is not anywhere near ready, in particular, anywhere near ready to make that commitment to Jesus, and they sense a salesman-like pressure to make a yes decision for Jesus, this is where a lot of people get that negative impression of Christianity being about pushing religion on others. And to this they will react negatively. Finally, if we have a one-time decision as the objective of our evangelism rather than discipleship, we might fall into the trap of not explaining the full terms and conditions of being a disciple, which is that you are committing to give up living your life for you in order to live for Jesus instead. Now, having said all that, leading someone through the sinner's prayer at the right moment can be a powerful and important part in someone's faith. And so offering that opportunity is something we should be prepared to do and be confident to do it. Now, having gotten that out of the road, I want to take us back a step to that time where you've had a conversation with someone and they're interested in Jesus and Christianity, but are not yet ready to decide to be a disciple. What do we say? What do we do? Remember, what we're trying to do is to introduce the person to Jesus, to the risen Lord Jesus. And so we're trying to offer the person ways or moments so that Jesus can meet with them. Last week I mentioned that people often need time to process things, to work them through in their minds before they are able to make a major change in their perspective and their life direction. And so what we can do with this in mind is that we periodically try to re-engage with the person. Not all the time. And one simple way to do this is after some time, politely ask something like, "Have you had some time to think about what we discussed about God?" Or, you know, "Where are you in your thoughts about Jesus?" Essentially, we're circling back to that previous good conversation about God. And if you had a genuinely good conversation with someone, The thing about that shared experience is that you will both associate positive emotions with it. And that is why that conversation is such a great doorway to dive back in and to going deeper from where you left off. Again, why it's so important to have good, positive conversations with people. Just also, don't be too quick to get back in there, but also don't leave it too long in between. Because then the conversation might kind of fade in their memory and it won't be fresh in their minds. When we look at our Bible reading this morning from John 1, 43 to 51, we see Philip go and find his friend Nathanael to introduce him to Jesus. Philip was convinced that Jesus was the Messiah, having met him, and being called by Jesus to follow him. He knows that Nathanael will also likely see what he saw in Jesus. And although skeptical at first, Nathanael goes along with Philip to meet up with Jesus. And as Nathanael meets Jesus, he's taken by Jesus' interest in him, even before Philip called him. And for whatever reason, Jesus mentioning to Nathanael that he saw him under the fig tree before Philip called him reveals to Nathanael that Jesus is not only the Messiah but the Son of God too. I don't quite understand why. But there's a couple of principles I really want us to highlight for us from this. First is to trust Jesus. We have to trust Jesus that when we introduce someone to him, that the risen Lord Jesus himself will meet with the person and speak into their lives what they need to hear. Faith ultimately comes from meeting with Jesus and to have the Holy Spirit work in that person's heart. And so this is something Jesus and the Holy Spirit does, and we can't do it. We introduce someone to Jesus and then Jesus meets them. And this is what happens in the Bible reading. Philip introduces Nathanael to Jesus and then Jesus meets with Nathanael and speaks to him in a way which is meaningful to him, which I said I don't fully get. But it's meaningful to Nathanael. Secondly, Philip goes with Nathanael. It is important that we walk with people on their journey to becoming disciples and not just point them in the right direction. It's over that way. Go with them. Journey with them. And this takes a little bit of time and effort, but this is very important. Thirdly, we invite the person we know to hear the gospel or explore faith from someone who is better at it than we are. In Philip's case, he's able to take Nathanael directly to Jesus. So this is what he does. But for us, we can do this in any number of ways. But just a few examples. One is that you can run a course like Christianity Explained and invite people who are interested in faith to come along. And if you can't get a group together, just do it with the person one-on-one. The reason why these courses work is because you have wonderfully trained people with tremendous talent for communicating, putting a lot of time and effort into developing these courses. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel and do it yourself, all yourself. And they often have study questions to go with their videos to help explore the important points which will help people come to faith. At Youth Group, we've just started a Bible video series called Life Explored. And after watching the first video, one of our youth groupers from a non-Christian background clapped because they thought it was just so good. So that sort of program designed to help people explore the Christian faith or to come to faith are excellent resources. And along the same lines might be inviting a person to a Christian event, maybe a special church service where they'll feel comfortable enough to come along. Maybe a guest speaker is coming to share. These sorts of events have had great success in people's lives who aren't far from the kingdom of God. In addition to the points previously mentioned for the Bible study sort of idea, or the study session, the strengths of these events is the ability to speak and ask questions of the presenter or the speaker. They also get to see that they are not alone and participate in a shared time of fellowship and of exploring faith with others. Another good step is to just get the person involved in a mission of the church and just to be integrated into the life of the church community. Is there something they're interested in that they'd be willing to help out with? Another option is to bring up the subject of baptism or confirmation and speak about what these mean. And if you're unsure about being able to explain these, like I was once with a group of RE students who were brought to my home church, and I was completely stumped when they asked, what's that for? I actually didn't know. And luckily someone else who was in this group of in this sort of excursion to our church was able to save me and give some explanation. But at that moment I didn't know. And if that's you, well, you've just got something that you need to brush up on, because we should know the importance of baptism and confirmation. And the Uniting Church also has baptism and confirmation preparation material, which is very good, and which I've used in preparing people to understand the Christian faith and what it is they're being baptized into. The final suggestion along these lines is to offer to either read with people the Bible or to do the same sort of thing through sharing with them a devotional, but where they're engaging with Bible material. The Bible is our primary means of discovering who Jesus and who God is. It is also the primary means God uses to speak to us. So getting someone to a place where they will interact with the Bible is very important. There's a wonderful program that I'm aware of. I haven't really gone deep into it, but I've heard about it and I've heard what it does and the basics of it. And it's called Would You Like to Read the Bible with Me? And when used with people who are seeking to explore faith, the uptake for this offer is actually really good, really high. It's in the 80 to 90% that if you target the right person who's exploring faith, they will say yes. Again, do you understand why your spiritual disciplines are so important? Why your reading the Bible is so important? Because you've got to be comfortable if you're going to share this with someone else. And this is how Bible studies and church services can just pop up in very unexpected places, like pubs. You meet with the person wherever they are comfortable meeting. Remember, this isn't about you. You become all things to all people to win some. So if that's going to a park or to a cafe or to the pub, that's where you go. For those who were joining in last year with our Friday morning Bible study, this is what I was training you in. The ability and to be comfortable to sit with others in reading the Bible and to see just what you get out of it. Of course, your role, if you're doing this, is to choose where in the Bible, but if you have a devotional, that'll help you. But your role is to kind of help navigate the Bible for this person, so that they become comfortable with the Bible themselves. I'll just say one more thing. An important aspect which runs alongside everything we've been speaking about in these last few weeks is the need to be praying for the person. Prayer is just so important because we're dealing with spiritual issues. And there are spiritual powers who are at work to try to keep people blind and deaf and away from God. This is another reason why your spiritual disciplines are so important to the success of your evangelism. So continue to speak to those who are open to God. Bring up past good God conversations to continue the process of discipleship. Be prepared to walk with people as you lead them to meet with the risen Jesus. Use people, programs, events, devotionals, and the Bible, particularly other people who are great at communicating the gospel and are leading people to make that decision to follow Jesus. Speak about what it means to become a Christian and be prepared to read the Bible with that with people. And if the moment is right, we'll also be prepared to lead someone through that sinner's prayer. It's a good way to mark someone's decision to begin being a disciple. However, remember, Jesus wants us to make disciples and not to pressure people into making a one-time decision. After all, being a Christian is about a lifelong choice to be a disciple of Jesus. Amen.